My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We knew this was going to be a big one, the post-NFL Combine edition of Character Concerns. 40s were ran, barbells were bench-pressed, records were broken, but then, all of a sudden, Monday afternoon, bigger news, the biggest news, came out that Orlando Brown Jr. will not be franchise tagged. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, I am Nick Schwert. We've got a lot to discuss here, guys. All the combine stuff has to take a back seat for just a brief moment. Yeah. Left tackle was at least a position of interest. I don't know if you would have put it at the top of your list of priorities, but it was one that people were circling because we didn't know the long-term future for Orlando Brown Jr. And it's still important to note, as of the recording of this podcast at 2:30 on Monday afternoon, we still don't know the long-term plan for Orlando Brown Jr. Kansas City can still work out a long-term deal with him, but they have stated that the tag number is too high. He will not be franchise tagged, so they'll either get him on a long-term extension or they will let him walk in free agency, which I think that is the surprising aspect, that they would lose him for nothing. So let's just start here. How does this impact the Chiefs' interest or how they should attack the tackle position in the NFL draft next month?
If we didn't know anything about Brett Veach or Andy Reid, and we were just looking at this from outside in, we'd be like, okay, well, for sure that means that number one need is left tackle now. But we all have followed this team for a while now. We know how Brett Veach operates. We know how Andy Reid operates. And we know they're not the kind of team that does things for no reason, especially something like this, especially because they let it get out. When something like this gets out, generally it's like, okay, there's a reason behind this. And I tend to believe that they feel like they've come to some sort of compromise enough to where they can work out some sort of deal. Maybe it's not the 5-6 year deal that they were hoping to, that I know Orlando Brown Jr. was hoping to get. I think that something has come across where they feel like we can get a deal done and we can take care of this issue right now, so we don't have to worry about messing with it in the draft. That's
so,
what I
so
think.
So here's what we know. We know that on Monday, the Chiefs and Orlando Brown Jr.'s representation met. We knew that at the beginning of the day. We knew they were going to meet. I don't know if any of us suspected that news of this nature would come down so quickly, but we knew they met on Monday, which would basically tell me one of two things. That meeting went really, really well.
Or really bad.
Yeah, or really poorly. The two
and
sides.
Like, we just don't want this guy anymore.
And it doesn't mean they won't do anything. And here's the pros and cons. They had to sign this by tomorrow. March 7th is the deadline to sign tag.
Actually, that'll be today by the time this podcast.
Oh, yeah, by today.
People may be listening on Tuesday.
Whereas we're recording on the 6th, it's the 7th. And then you have till July 15th to sign a long-term contract. Now, the thing with Orlando Brown is so interesting. Last year, he got the tag. So he played on the tag. This year, they would have to give him 120% of that.
So the high, around $20 million.
Right around $20 million. They had to pay him $120 million, 120% higher than last year. They'd put him around there. But, you know, Isaiah Wynn's, the Jeremiah Fleming's, or Isaiah Wynn's, the Cameron Fleming from Denver that played right tackle and left tackle. Orlando Brown's at the top of the list. I mean, he knows this too. You look at the list of free agents, he's going to be right up there. So the Chiefs are going to have to pay a pretty penny and just won a Super Bowl with the quarterback taking up the highest cap space in NFL history, taking 17%, the winning quarterback. So they have decisions. Now, here's the pros for him. Pat Mahomes loves him. You know, he always gets invited to go out and do these, you know, fun things. The Patrick Mahomes, they're close. Number two, people need to stop calling him OBJ. Because I think Odell Beckham, every time they tweet that.
I call him OBJ.
But they stop it.
I'm going to keep calling him OBJ.
It's Orlando Brown. Stop this whole
Orlando
OBJ.
Brown Jr. He's OBJ.
I don't like people saying OBJ. OBJ is one guy. You can't have two guys be the same guy.
He's our OBJ. Only one OBJ is currently playing in the NFL.
He's out. Exactly. Right. He's our OBJ.
Anyway, all right. So it's a little pet peeve there. It has nothing to do with anything. But I just wanted to bring it up. But the line was really in continuity. I mean, they really were starting to gel, and they played all these downs together. He was a Pro Bowl starter. I know it doesn't mean a damn thing, but he's got that in his resume, and he's got an agent that's never dealt with NFL players. He has never had an NFL player as agent. So I thought the Chiefs would just be like, okay, sit down here. Let's talk. Because the Chiefs are all these guys like Brent Tillis and Brett Veach and the two-time Super Bowl champion front office talking to somebody that didn't even have a client ever. Okay, that's one thing. The other thing is he's a charitable guy in this town. Orlando Brown does some charity work here in Kansas City and really likes it. He's admitted to really liking it in Kansas City. They give him his opportunity to play left tackle, and he's got hardware for it. His dad always wanted him to play left tackle. In Baltimore, they had him at right tackle because of Ronnie Stanley. When he gets hurt, they moved him over to left tackle as a running offense. He likes to pass block a bit as well. So all these things tell me, all these things spell a guy that could give you a hometown discount, but I think like Juju, he's going to understand his real value. And you'd hope his agent would kind of understand what his value is. Because Juju, when he goes to free agency, he's looking as a top three guy. Orlando Brown, maybe the top guy at tackle in the NFL. And I will say this, if they do lose him, which I think there's a good chance they do at this point, they still got number pick 58 back. And I hope people remember that before they just blow up. Oh, the Chiefs got out the four. Well, they got a starting left tackle in the Super Bowl. And they got pick 58 that turned into Nick Bolton, who was the second leading tackler in the National Football League. So, well, let's forget about Orlando Brown. Don't forget, Bick 58 came over in that trade as well.
Okay, so let's frame it like this. We know that Orlando Brown Jr. is not getting the franchise tag. Between now and next Monday, the Chiefs could strike a long-term deal with him. That
it's
is
been reported.
That is still in the cards.
Remember, Derek Carr was leading towards the Jets, remember?
They still have until Monday to sign a long-term deal with him. They could also be trying to orchestrate some sort of trade, not involving Orlando Brown Jr., to go out and get a different left tackle. We don't know that either. Let's frame this in the context of the draft. Let's imagine a scenario where the Chiefs are saying, we would rather take a flyer on one of these left tackles in the draft, whether that means sitting at 31 or trading up to try and get one of the elite level left tackles. If they think that is the better option right now than signing Orlando Brown Jr., your reaction to that move would be what?
I don't know. I want a veteran presence here. And I know we could talk about it till we're blue in the face. I'm just not enamored by the rookies, especially sitting at 31. Now, you better trade up if you want like a Peter Skoronski, somebody like that. Maybe a Darnell Wright.
Peter Skoronski is probably going to be the first tackle off the board. He's probably a top 10 guy.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's a Patrick Mahomes type move. Are you willing to move for left tackle? Like
the other guys.
Darnell Wright is possibly.
Broderick Jones Jr.
Broderick Jones is moving up, though.
Those are probably
top. You're at least going to have to be 18 to 21.
And you wouldn't be a fan of that move.
Yeah. But again, this is not where I want the Chiefs to be. I didn't want to be in a position to have to draft offensive line again. There's other fish to fry with this team, and all of a sudden this is a setback because I just figured Orlando Brown
okay,
gets so tagged
let,
in
okay,
and
then let's, okay, but then let's pull it back there for a second because, yes, you want a veteran presence, but you know, as Chris said earlier, Brett Veach, Andy Reid, they're looking at this through every single possible scenario imaginable, and they're saying, you know, even if we give Orlando Brown Jr. the franchise tag, that's only kicking the can down the road to have to revisit this again next year. Maybe they love this draft class of left tackles. And they say, I would rather plan for the future and know that maybe it's a setback this year. But in years 2, 3, and 4, not only are we getting comparable level play, we're doing it without having to pay a guy $25 million, which is in the neighborhood of what Orlando Brown Jr. would likely be seeking in a long-term contract. If you frame it like that, is that much of a risk for the Chiefs to take if you're viewing this from the big picture perspective?
It's hard to say. I just hate to see him use a rookie because this team's too good for this. And I know that all the rookies...
Couldn't you argue they're too good to overpay for left tackle as well?
Last year, third in the NFL in snaps by rookies. So that was in the most for a Super Bowl winning team since 91. So yeah, they have shown that tendency to draft well. 21 last 22 draft picks for the Chiefs are still technically on the roster in some way or another. Whether it'll be here or not next year, probably not going to be the question. But 21 and 22 sit on there now. They had four in the defensive backfield. But again, protecting Patrick Mahomes, do you want a rookie? With these pass rushers this division has, because they do have good pass rushers, and so does the rest of the AFC, people are loading up on pass rushers. If you're going to start a rookie, you got to be careful. Because I remember the year when they went out and got Orlando Brown, and it was Sam Cosmi. It was Liam Eichenberg. All guards now. Or yeah. Alex Leatherwood, who's moved to guard.
Not even who was the Allen for a Trophy team winner,
who was drafted by the Raiders at pick 24 when he probably should have gone to second or third round.
Yeah.
He's like on the Bears roster.
Oh, is he on the Bears roster now?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. But
Jenkins was another guy that they were linked to who's playing, what is he, right tackle?
But that was different. Maybe that was guard? The pandemic year. Guys didn't play. They didn't play non-conference games. I get that. But still, when you're sitting here, if you really want to fix your left tackle, I believe you got to move up. I think that edge rusher and tackle kind of dictates you move up. If you want a guy to play this year, because again, the window's open. The window closes so fast in the National Football League. Ask the Rams. Ask the Buccaneers how fast that window closes. And the Chiefs have been able to keep the window open. Well, the window doesn't stay open by using a left tackle rookie to start a season. Listen, it's the right guy. They can do it. I don't care where you're picking him. Being a left tackle in the National Football League on day one, Chris, is a tough task.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't care how good you are.
I agree with you. And that's the reason why I tend to think that they think they can get him long term. They think there's a reasonable number that they can pay him. I'm sure Mahomes is in their ear like, hey, keep this guy here.
That's what I was saying, the Mahomes factor in this
thing. I'm sure he's in their ear because, I mean, look.
But he did allow Tyreek Hill to go get traded.
And he did, too. And maybe they think they can work a trade or something there. I don't know. But, like, this isn't a great free agent class for left tackles this year. And, like you brought up, the Chiefs would have to trade up at worst top 15, but more than likely top 10 in order to get a guy like Skoronski or Paris Johnson from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. So this isn't a great tackle class left tackle class right now after like probably the top 10. So if you're going to draft that guy, you got to trade up really high. We know what it was for the Chiefs to go from 27 to 10 just to get Mahomes. It's an incredibly pricey move. So in all likelihood, I don't think the move up's on the table. I don't think drafting a left tackle in the first round is really on the table. I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to sign him long term, and then they're going to kind of focus on right tackle in free agency or whatever. So that's, to me, I think that's why this was announced, because I think they're like, hey, we think we can come to a common ground with Orlando.
And signing Orlando Brown Jr. to a long-term extension would also crystallize things for the NFL draft, because at the very least, we would know you are no longer targeting that as a value position. Maybe you need to draft somebody later to get a right tackle. You're not spending a first-round pick to draft your right tackle if you end up letting Andrew Wiley walk in free agency. But an interesting nugget to come out on Monday afternoon that one way or another is going to impact how the Chiefs attack this 2023 NFL draft. Okay, guys. So now that we have gotten that out of the way, I want to look back on the weekend that was in Indianapolis, because this was a record-setting weekend. A lot of guys at different positions setting records, whether it was an impressive tight end class. There were some big uglies putting up some really impressive numbers in the explosive categories, in the speed categories. So all in all, take whatever position you guys want to, whatever player you guys want to. Was there a player that specifically stood out or impressed you the most in Indy?
Three guys that really jumped out.
Oh, wow. You're going to take three. Not even two. He's taking a third.
Three guys I really liked. And we were in the group chat. We all talked about this. So you guys know who I'm talking about here. For number one, Nolan Smith, Georgia. Kid had a hell of a combine. 4.39 40 time. His 10-yard split was like 1.52, which is I mean, anything 156 or lower is elite.
He was putting up skill position numbers.
He's putting
at the edge.
He was faster than a lot of the receivers that ran, which is really crazy for an edge rusher. He was a guy that was like probably second round, maybe borderline late first. I could very well see a team trading back into the first, or a team who is in the 20s being like, okay, let's take a flyer on this kid because he's got the physical profile he does. Another guy, and I know you brought him up in our group chat, Kalijah Kancey from Pitt, has drawn some Aaron Donald like comparisons.
Now is that because he's from Pitt? That he's getting the Aaron Donald
too, but also the size as well, 6'1", 280. I think it's a little bit, I mean, that's a hell of a thing to compare, person to compare him to, but 4'6", 740 time. I don't think he did the bench press, so that's, you know, there's mystery there. But I thought he did good. And then one guy I think that was like sneaky good, Yaya Diaby from Louisville, kind of just, he put up some really strong numbers, good 10-yard split, like, I think he could very well be a good rotational guy, probably like a third day guy. I really liked what I saw from him. So this was like a really strong NFL like a combine for like linemen, defensive linemen, like interior linemen, edge rushers. It was really, really strong, and I was really surprised by that because I think we were all expecting like receivers to really go out there and show out, and we didn't get that.
They stole the show, and I was with you on Kancey. Here was a guy, even Kalijah Kancey was picked by the Chiefs, unanimous All-American at Pitt, like Aaron Donald. Some say undersized, you know, he's 281 pounds, whatever. Can that get to 290 really quick? Yes, it can, but it's also a guy, you can play defensive line, you can play edge, a lot like Chris Jones. You can do a lot of different things with Kancey. And what Chris was talking about, that 4.67 at 281 pounds, fastest time by defensive tackle since 2006, only to be beaten on the defensive line by Adeware from North Kansas City High School, who ran a 4.49 at 282 pounds. So the only guy 282 plus, they think maybe in the history of the draft, to run that fast, he stood out. Nolan Smith stood out to me. He was just an absolutely offensive freak. And the one guy that did stand out to me still, and I'll defend him to this point, even though I may have found somebody I like a little bit better, is Jalen Hyatt. And he didn't run in the fourth.
Real quick. Is this going to be a weekly occurrence, the Jalen Hyatt? Do we need to set aside 7 to 10 minutes every Monday
like a new Stetson
for you to discuss Jalen Hyatt?
You can't do both. No, you can't do Stetson and Jalen. It's got to be one of the
other. Here's the thing about him. He's getting a lot of ridicule for the 4.4. Well, it's still 4.40.
It's a good number.
Kadarius Toney's considered extremely fast. He's 4.39. He's 4.39 to 4.40. And by the way, Sky Moore is slower in the 40.
How much did Jalen Hyatt tip the scales at?
Oh, I thought it was 187.
You're giving him a little too much there. It's 175.
Yeah, no. 175?
He's got to add some. Got to add some beef.
No, you don't say.
I think he's fine.
He's got to add a little beef. But the bottom line is, here's the thing.
No. Whoa. I actually have beef. I have beef with you because I don't actually.
The three
think
cone. He was number one overall. 20-yard shuttle, number one overall. We're not talking
Jay,
number
there's
one wide
nothing
receiver.
Bink was loving those
the
cone numbers.
One
Jay,
player
Jay,
in two categories,
Jay,
the best.
Is there anything that Jalen Hyatt could have done that would have led you to not coming in here and saying his name right now? I think you were going to be impressed with him no matter what because he's your guy.
He was a 4.5 or something.
I was about to say, if he was a 4.5 with those same cone, and you definitely could not have defended him for that.
Oh, by the way, Kancey, he was 14 and a half tackles for loss last year.
I just want to let it be known to the listening audience. Chris already knows this. Bink, I don't know if he has it printed out in front of him. Right here, for topic number one of this podcast, it says, whose combine performance impressed you the most in Indy?
No receivers or quarterbacks.
No receivers. We'll talk about them later.
Because I did not bring up a receiver at all. I didn't even talk about it.
What did Bink do?
Immediately, as soon as he was like, you know, I know he didn't.
And
have
I just want you to know, Bink, that note was specifically for you.
And when he started bringing, I know he didn't have the best combine. I was like, I know exactly where he's going, and he's going to go against what we put on the rundown.
All right. Well,
he sits back with Christian Watson, right? There's a guy 6'4" running a 4.36. I mean, the Chiefs passed up on. He was a combine freak last year.
Okay.
So they missed that. But bottom line is, listen, edge rushers look like tackles. You go 2021, round 1 through 18. Or the first round, 1 through 18, 1 through 15, there was 12 of these picked. Round 1, there's 18 players picked. 1 through 15, 12 of them. And round 2, 5 of them. Round 3, 2 of them. Round 5, 1, 2 undrafted. And you look at this, last year, out of the top sackers, and I took 24 because some guys were tied there to get into the 20s, 11 of these guys were first round, 4 second round, 5 third round, 3 fourth round, 1 fifth round. That just goes to show you, I mean, you gotta draft them early at defensive line and edge. I mean, yeah, Karloftis's do fall off the tree from time to time, but you better get it in Max Crosby.
Yeah.
When you think about guys that excelled with double-digit sacks as rookie season, because typically that's an unusual number for people to have.
Just some numbers here to back up some of the guys you were talking about. I think, Chris, you mentioned, I mean, I'm going to try my best at his name here. Adetamiwa Adebare?
From Northtown.
Yeah, Adebare, that Bink brought him up.
Did I get that correctly?
Yeah, and he's the one with the 280
his teammates and coaches just call him Tommy, so that's what I'm going to call him.
Yeah,
Tommy.
There's like, you can go on his Pro Football Reference and it has a pronunciation.
So you talk about breaking records, 6'2", 282. He ran a 4.49 40, which I think you alluded to this, Bink. It's the fastest by any player over 275 pounds since 2003. His vertical, 37.5, that's the highest vert of anybody over 250 pounds. So you're talking about record-setting numbers for a guy who I don't even know what position he plays.
Juju had a 4.640, right? I think I'm pretty sure he had a 4.640. So this dude is faster than Juju.
I mean, he's faster than Nick Bosa. He's faster than Mahomes, Aaron Donald.
He's faster than Mahomes. Mahomes like 4.8.
All of them.
No, he's supposed to be the fastest ever with anybody over 282 pounds.
So,
not since 03 or anything, ever.
So you're talking about a guy who was out there doing edge drills. He was doing defensive tackle drills. He was doing linebacker drills, which I love for a guy who, when you come in and your biggest knock is being a tweener, we don't know what position you play, and he just leans into it. He says, okay, then I'll play all of them, and I'm going to look really good in all of them. The question becomes, did he play himself into day one conversation, or is he still going to be a day two, three guy?
I think he's getting a day one. By the way, it's 4.54 for Juju.
4.54. So he is. Yeah. So
still,
fast.
One other guy.
But I think he gets up into the first round.
One other guy I want to bring up just because I don't know how interested the Chiefs are going to be in him, but I brought him up last week and it was one of the more impressive guys at the combine. Darnell Washington, tight end.
Oh, man. He was good. I know you do this.
You know, I tried to figure this out. You know, he's 6'7, 264 pounds. He ran a 4.64 40. He has the largest wingspan of any tight end in the history of the combine. He ran the third fastest shuttle time of anybody at the combine. I think it's like if Rob Gronkowski and a Ford F-250 got together and had a baby, and that baby grew up to play football, that would be Darnell Washington. He's a Mack truck who also has an insane vertical, insane athletic ability. He is twitchy. If you made this guy in Madden, you would break the game. They're not supposed to move
quite like
this.
Except they
talk
about the double catch a lot, with the ball bouncing and then the catch. That's one of the things they talked about. And then he started to do things. He said, try to catch with one hand. One of the scouts was there, said, hey, try to catch with one hand. And he reaches out with the one paw and got a standing ovation for the rest of his teammates and showed his ability. But these are things that can be fixed.
But that's the beauty of the combine.
The other thing is, too, it can also be a tackle. I mean, this is a tackle that can catch. So if the Chiefs are the situation where if they had to go rookie tackle and you have a guy like Washington there as well,
I mean,
they were able to get two first round
last year at Georgia, he played right next to Broderick Jones, and they used that as just these two sort of earth movers. Yep. Now, that's the beauty of the combine, is not all of these guys are going to be great NFL players. Not all of them are going to be day one picks. But when you go out there and you are able to showcase your physical traits, that is how you improve your draft stock. That's how you go from being a day two or three guy to being a day one guy. That's how you go from being on the cusp of being an unsigned free agent to all of a sudden maybe hearing your name called on day three. So a lot of impressive guys. We didn't get to wide receivers with the exception of Bink bringing up Jalen Hyatt, even though we gave him specific instruction.
He couldn't help himself. I don't blame him.
He said to stand out.
I did not think he was going to abide.
I know. I wasn't going to. I was going to stay with defensive line, but damn it.
I knew he couldn't help himself.
Because we want to talk about wide receivers right now. There was a report that came out on Sunday from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN where he said that the Chiefs are attempting to re-sign Juju Smith-Schuster before free agency again begins. I don't think this is any real shock. Even throughout the season, we knew the Chiefs were interested in signing him to a long-term extension. But once free agency hits, priorities change, the draft, the combine, GMs are rubbing elbows at St. Elmo's Steakhouse in Indianapolis, eating shrimp cocktails, talking about who they want, what they're in the market for. Things begin to change a little bit. So I want to go with this report from Jeremy Fowler. Let's just imagine, hypothetically, if the Chiefs are able to work out a long-term extension with Juju before the draft, how does it change how they address receiver in this draft? Because I think we're all in agreement that as it currently stands, that is one of, if not the top priority for the Chiefs in this draft, specifically with the first round, 31st, or if they move up. Would re-signing Juju change that in your guys' minds at all?
I think it does. I think it has to. If they bring Juju back and you spend that money, because he's not going to come back cheap to this team, that does kind of change things, or maybe try to look on the other side. Because who knows if Frank Clark's going to come back on a kind of a hometown discount. If he does, that's good for the Chiefs. But I think they're going to want to see somebody over there on the opposite side of Karlaftis. It's kind of like we've seen in the past with the D Ford that was supposed to be the guy, and Tom Ali actually got two extra contracts because D Ford wasn't ready to take over for that back when the Chiefs used to draft to replace, like Fisher for Brandon Albert, that kind of scheme that the Chiefs
got. Poe got replaced, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of theme that the Chiefs had in those days. And I think a lot of it went down to that, but I think that if they lose Juju, and there's been talk about, you know, hey, MVS is not 100% safe either. That's a $7.5 million salary cap savings if they dump him. But I'll go back to this. Patrick Mahomes is the highest priced player on this team. $500 million quarterback. And we're talking about, you know, defending him on the line, having Orlando Brown Jr. back here with the Chiefs in that situation. But you got to get him some stuff. And I always bring the Porsche up in your garage. You got to have gas for it. And Mahomes, yes, he beat the Bengals. With a wing and a prayer. There was nobody out there. And your guy, Fortson, out there running wide receiver routes.
My guy. Just to be clear, that's who.
Your guy.
When he said your guy, he was referring to me and my personal, close personal best friend,
Cody Fortson. Yeah, you got to think for
but
them.
But I've always been for them getting a wide receiver. Obviously, Orlando Brown does change things. I've never felt that Juju was getting up back here because he's going to get the bag. Oftentimes, I've compared him to Christian Kirk. Both of them are 26 years old. 26. Both of them were born in November of 96. But
both of their favorite colors are green.
Well, here's the thing, though.
They grew up watching Juju, the same show, Ed, Edd n Eddy, back in the day.
Juju, 79 games. Christian Kirk, 73. Juju, 401 catches. Christian Kirk, 320. Juju, 4,788 yards. Christian Kirk, 4,010. Touchdowns, Juju, 29. Christian Kirk, 25. Who's got the contract? Who had to play for a ridiculous contract was Juju. Christian Kirk got the bag last year. Juju is going to be one of the top wide receivers, if not the number one free agent wide receiver. And when you compare him to what Christian Kirk got last year, yeah, money's coming his way.
Okay. This is why it took him so long to get in here, just so we could do the podcast. By the way,
so just to peel the curtain back a little bit, Chris and I waited for Bink, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes.
Like 15
Chris comes
minutes.
In, I said, where's Bink? He said, is he trying to print something off?
Yes.
And 10, 15 minutes passed, and I said, okay, let me go see.
Where is he?
And he's in there. He's like, I'm writing some stuff down about Juju, and now we finally get to see why. So let me do this, though, because Christian Kirk, I like that you brought it up, because Christian Kirk and Juju are different players in their skill sets, right? Their production
Juju
may
went
be similar.
17, he came out 18, well, but same age.
Well, Juju, that's not what I was referring to skill set. Juju, the way the Chiefs employed him, a lot of across-the-middle stuff, right? You basically use him as sort of this hybrid tight end because he is a big-bodied receiver. He's not like Christian Kirk, where he has at least flashed the potential of being a number one. He is not going to take the top off the defense. He's not beating guys outside consistently. So even if they do bring him back, and let's imagine they use him in the exact same role we saw them use him in 2022, do you think there is still a need to go out and get that outside threat that the Chiefs were lacking this past season?
They've been looking for that X. Sammy Watkins, they haven't got anybody since Watkins.
I don't actually. So first off, I don't think he's going to get Christian Kirk money. I'm not convinced. Like, that contract for Christian Kirk was ridiculous. And we all said that at the time.
It was a market-setting deal.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh my God, it means that Tyreek Hill is going to want even more money than we thought he was going to get anyways. So to me, it's like, because of the reasons you brought up. Because of the reasons you brought up. Yeah, I did not think that that was going to happen at all. And I look at this situation now, and I'm like, even if they re-sign Juju to an extension, I still think they have to look at receiver. Because, A, Juju hasn't done it. He hasn't done, last time he had 1,000 yards, he was, what, 2019?
So that was the last time he was really that guy, that guy who kind of looked like a number one. Even this year, even though he had almost 1,000 yards, he never was that. He was never like a true number one on this team. He was, as you brought up, Nick, like a hybrid tight end type. More possession, like catch the ball, go down. He was not going to go out here and burn guys down the field. He's not the guy that you are going to put the offensive load on. You want to have a guy that's more dynamic physically.
He reminds me of a poor man's Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, I actually think that's a great comparison.
This is why they wanted him so bad 2 years ago. Yeah. That's why Andy Reid put the full court press on him, which I've never seen him do with any free agent, because they wanted that X, like Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
And again, what receivers has Mahomes really had? Besides, is Juju one of the best? Is he number two receiver? He
probably is number two.
Number two?
Yeah, probably number
behind
two.
Behind Tyreek Hill, yeah. Juju, and then Sammy?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's not a great list. Besides yeah. Tyreek. By the way, I'll put this, Adam Schefter just put this out on Monday, even though we're releasing this on Tuesday. This goes into our conversation.
You know what? We may just end up releasing this on Monday afternoon.
We need to, because guess what?
At this point, we just have no choice.
Per Adam Schefter, Chiefs and Frank Clark's agent Eric Burkhart were unable to find common ground on a reworked deal during several conversations at the Combine. The expectation now is Kansas City will release the 29-year-old defensive end, Frank Clark.
Well, they're going edge rusher.
So that changes things back to edge rushers.
They're going edge rusher.
As we sit down here and it's tackle, and we look at edge rusher. Now all of a sudden you've got these other things. Can they find a way to get these guys under a contract to come back to Kansas City? Maybe. But all this starts to change. But then you look at the free agent wide receivers, and there's not any out there. No. And you got two of them that are top six in Mecole Hardman and Juju.
This offseason is going to be wild, man.
You know what I'm saying? Stop reporting
news during our show.
Well, I have to, because this
it's not a live show.
Not you. The insiders got
to
stop.
Yeah, he's talking to Schefter and Rappaport.
Yeah, give us a break.
They can just stop. I agree.
Can we just do our show and then you just break that stuff tomorrow?
Well, it does change things completely.
It completely does. It changes our show now.
Yeah, I'd rather know before it releases than like have it happen an hour after it releases, at which point our entire show would be, we'd be dated at that point. But Juju fills such a specific role. Yes, he is the second best receiver that Mahomes has had outside of Tyreek. He and Tyreek are nothing. No one would mistake these two players with not only what they look like, how they play, how the Chiefs have utilized them. Kansas City had the number one offense in the NFL by basically every metric this last year. And I think it will be remembered as the year where Mahomes evolved his game to take the easy stuff, right? To take the stuff underneath. They're no longer giving you those deep shots downfield, so I am going to dink and dunk you to death, and there's nothing you can do about it. And the second you give me an opening downfield, I'm going to take it. I'm going to kill you with it. But that was never Juju. It was MVS. It was Justin Watson. We saw Noah Gray do it a handful of times. That was never
Juju.
Can't
have a backfield. I mean, it was...
Right. So if you bring Juju back, you know what you're getting, and you know how the Chiefs are going to use him, and I think it's a smart play because... The biggest thing, more than anything else, I feel like it takes pressure off Travis Kelce across the middle. When you have a guy who can give you 75 to 90 catches a year, which is what Juju gave you last year.
He would have had 1,000 had he played all the games.
Exactly.
But let's put it this way. Chiefs, as you said, Nick, number one offense, number one passing offense, the only team over 300 yards passing per game. But keep this in mind. The unbelievable thing that gets under-talked about nationally, Mahomes did this with no 1,000-yard receivers, except for the tight end Kelce. You don't do these type of numbers with receivers that don't at least have 1,000 yards. Spread the ball around, it's 100%
what they did. So let me ask you this then.
Not put up these numbers without 1,000-yard receivers.
So let me ask you this.
But they did.
Is that sustainable? Would you sit here today and say, yeah, they can do that again next year and the year after that and the year after that? Or are you sitting here saying, let's add some talent on the outside. Let's infuse this wide receiver room with a little bit more potential by means of the first round of the draft, whether that's a Quentin Johnson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Jalen Hyatt, whoever is your guy in the first round, is that still a top priority even with Juju coming back?
I think it is, because when you think of the Chiefs, what's their number one thing? It's the wide receiver. It's moving the football downfield. This team thrives on the offense. You have the two-time MVP in Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs lead this league, not in another category, but offense and passing offense, what they do well. You always have to supplant the talent. And you look at other quarterbacks, they have wide receivers, yes. I mean, you look at Joe Burrow. He's sitting there, Boyd and Higgins and Jamar Chase. It's a lot more talent than the Chiefs have a wide receiver. Now, Chiefs are a better tight end, no question about it. But even Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, you know, Joe Montana, you get Jerry Rice, and Clark, he had all these talent. Then Terrell came in with Steve Young. I mean, all these great quarterbacks had great receivers. John Elway had the same thing. Peyton Manning did when he was in Denver as well. What Patrick Mahomes has done is what he did with Manning did with like Stokely and Jacob Tammy and guys like that. Just take, but he had still had Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison in Indianapolis. Like, no, let's not forget he had them. Tom Brady has done it with less. I will say this, he has. Because you look back,
he also had great defenses too.
Right? Well, his best receiver he ever had was Randy Moss. And he never won a ring with Randy Moss. He would have without David Tyree's catch, but he didn't win. They were an undefeated team in the regular season. And he had Troy Brown, leading receiver on the first one they had, who ended up playing more defensive back than wide receiver the next year. So he was able to do it, but rarely does that happen. But Brady and Patrick Mahomes, as far as that's concerned, I know I hate to sit here and say, well, because everybody was freaking out about the pass rush last year, and they had 24 more sacks than they did the season before and finished number two in the NFL. But you look at the Chiefs, what's their MO? What are they about? They're about an offense. An offense that can put points on the board. An offense that's going to continually challenge you each and every week, and you've got to have the horses to do it. It can't just be all on Patrick Mahomes going out there throwing the Fordson and Noah Gray and stuff like this. You have got to give him talent. So I see it. Hey, need an offensive lineman. Need edge rusher. Yes, you need all these things. But let's not forget, you do need wide receiver. Yes, the second round last year, they get Sky Moore. Is that your answer? No. I don't see Sky Moore as the number one wide receiver. And Tony could be, but he's got to stay on the field.
I agree with you on that. I think when the 2021 draft came around, Cincinnati Bengals had the option to go and take Penei Sewell, who they were, I think we were all sitting around saying, you gotta protect your quarterback. He just tore his ACL because your offensive line is trash. And what did they do? Penei Sewell, right there at fifth overall, they decided Jamar Chase was a better option for them.
And when they needed linemen.
Exactly. They needed, and they still need linemen.
They led the NFL in sacks.
Their offensive line is still trash, and yet they played in the last two conference championship games.
They made the right choice.
They made the right choice. And it's because you can play around a bad offensive line. We've seen the Chiefs do it for years. Now, do you want to subject your quarterback to the kind of danger that Joe Burrow is in? Hell no. But his job is a lot easier because he's got some great receivers to throw the ball to. Because they did not need Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase was a win more addition to the team. He was not a guy that made them a contender. He's the one that put them ahead when they already had a good squad.
It kind of limits you in trading if you're Brett Beach. Which right now the Chiefs are sitting with nine. They're slated to get two compensatory picks. One third rounder from Ryan Pohl, still a second year of that situation. But it might be at 31 where you sit their best player available. I know you hate to hear that, but when you think of tackle, edge rusher, wide receiver, who is the best player we can see affecting this team right now? Because they're going to need these draft picks. Once again, they're going to need them. They're going to need to hit in the third round. They're going to need to hit in the fourth round. They're going to need to hit on some of these draft picks this year for the Chiefs. Another guy that I came out just really, really liking was Jackson Smith Enigba. Now, he didn't run the 40, but he was dominant in other categories and really showed that I think he could be a star in this league. I don't know. Jalen Hyatt, I don't know. It's a boomer bust type of guy. But Jackson, I think, can. And don't forget, he was the best receiver at Ohio State 2 years ago.
And both Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave have stated that openly.
Yeah. Yeah. He crushed him in almost every category.
By the way, here's some stats for you for Jackson Smith and Jigba. Fastest three-cone drill at the Combine. He had the fastest 20-yard shuttle at the draft. And as you mentioned, his teammates, which I'm always interested in. It's one thing for scouts, anonymous scouts,
media
coaches,
people,
media, to weigh in on how they think this guy's going to translate. How about the two guys who were just absolute studs the second they hit the NFL saying, yeah, he's better than both of us. That interests me more than what everybody else is saying.
2 years ago, here's the numbers. Jackson had 95 catches. Garrett Wilson, of course, first rounder, had 70. Chris Olave, 65. 65 for 936. Garrett Wilson, 70 for 1,058. Jackson had 1,606 yards. It was incredible what he did when he was healthy. The hamstring did hold him back, didn't run the 40. Couple guys, Deuce Vaughn, we didn't see him run the 40.
No,
ran everything else.
He doesn't need to, though.
I know, but I kind of want to see it, though.
By the way, we mentioned a lot of records that were broken at the draft. Deuce Vaughn also set a record for being the shortest player ever measured, 5'5" in the history of the NFL draft.
Yeah, he's little. He's little, but he's that kid. If he ended up on the Chiefs late in the draft.
Built like a brick, though.
Man, I mean, yeah, he's obviously like your third back. So, but man, I'd like him.
One position I'm fairly certain the Chiefs won't be targeting, at least at the top of the draft, will be quarterback. Now, maybe they'll go after a potential backup. They only have two, at least right now, in tow for next season later in the draft. But in the first round, they won't be one of the teams. But I think it's pretty safe to assume at this point there will be four guys.
Jackson, not Jalen Hyatt. I stepped out of line there.
Four guys who will be drafted from the quarterback spot in the first round: Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson. All of those guys, I think you could say, had very impressive showings at the combine. Bryce Young weighed in at over 200 pounds. I'm guessing right now, if you weighed him, he's under 200.
He ate a lot of fast food before he stepped on that scale.
A lot of fettuccine alfredo and ice cream the night before the weigh-in. Will Levis turns out really strong, really good in interviews. C.J. Stroud throws laser beams, and Anthony Richardson,
probably the best athlete that we've seen in a long... I mean, have you seen a better athlete at that position?
I want to make one thing perfectly clear. Anthony Richardson is the most athletic quarterback prospect in the history of the NFL draft. Here's some numbers. 6'4", 244 for Anthony Richardson. 10'9" broad jump, that's the best in combine history for a quarterback. 40.5-inch vertical, that's the best in combine history for a quarterback. 4.43 40-yard dash, he's the 7th QB all-time to go sub-4.5. He's the first ever to do it at more than 230 pounds. So whatever questions were out there, and questions will still remain about his actual quarterbacking ability, Anthony Richardson is probably going to be a top 10 pick in this draft. The reason why I bring up quarterbacks, guys, is because we discussed this at the beginning of our first episode, which is the characteristic or the defining characteristic of a draft will in some way, shape, or form affect in a ripple wave what the Chiefs are able to do at 31. And seeing how impressive this draft class looks, knowing that now there are going to be a lot of teams that might be trying to trade up to get their guy at number one, I'm just wondering, like, is this going to impact the Chiefs? Is this going to make it to where there is a neglected position that they're able to sort of take
advantage
of? Unless
the Bears trade out of their spot, then they end up getting the position the Chiefs want.
Well, I think the Bears will trade out of their spot,
right? Put it this way. You take the quarterbacks. Chiefs are picking 31. You say all these quarterbacks, they're picking 27th. Okay, Jahmyr Gibbs, if he goes in the first round. And if Bijan Robinson goes in the first round, that's 25th now. So instead of picking 31, you're picking 25 because two positions the Chiefs aren't going to draft in the first round are going to be off the board. So, again, it comes down to who's still there. Is Quentin Johnson still sitting around there? Because I think there's like three wide receivers I think that could be stars. I was a little bit disappointed in Zay Flowers' 40 time. I thought he'd be blazing. But I think Quentin will be. I think Jalen will be. And I think Jackson Smith and Igba will be stars in this league. So those three, if they're still there, who knows what happens. But I don't know. This changes everything with the edge rushers, and now with the speed these guys have, and getting a guy like Keon White, there's going to be so many choices. I do believe at edge for the Chiefs, even at 31, it could be a Carl Loftus type pick because again, it's not pick 31; they're actually picking probably 25th.
Could they potentially convince Anthony Richardson to convert to tight end or wide receiver? And if so, would you be interested?
I don't think he'd be interested in that at all.
Oh no, he'd lose money on that.
He'd lose a lot of money.
He wants quarterback or bust, and you've heard this before with a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Remember Eric Crouch from Nebraska? They went to move him to safety or whatever. He's like, I'm a quarterback.
Yeah. You know who sneakily? I was looking at some of the Anthony Richardson numbers, and they were comparing him to some of the more impressive. You know, Dante Culpepper was a name that was up there. Cam Newton, Michael Vick, guys who had a really impressive combine showings. One of the more impressive combine showings by a quarterback in NFL history, Josh McCown. Josh McCown ran a sub 4.6 40. Had like a 36-inch vertical. This guy was ahead of his time. And by the way, amongst these quarterbacks, if this were 2012 instead of 2023, C.J. Stroud would be the number one pick with a bullet because all that guy does is throw laser beams around the field. But it's 2023. We want to see mobility. We want to see your ability to sort of move around in the pocket and do ad-lib stuff, and he is more of a throwback, which is why it's kind of funny watching his throwing performance at the combine. And I'm like, this guy rips the ball. And he's the one quarterback nobody seems to be talking about.
He didn't run either, but we know he can run.
Right.
He didn't run. CJ didn't run, did he? I don't think he did.
No, I don't think he did.
I think he did. There's going to be choices. And again, you look at some of these quarterbacks. I think Anthony Richardson just, his skill set. I mean, it just jumps off the board. He wants the Mahomes comparisons. Like, it's funny we're starting to hear Mahomes' name now with these quarterbacks because I've never heard anybody really liking themselves to him. He called him a legend, did he?
Yeah.
Richard called him a legend.
Very complimentary.
Yeah, he's very complimentary of Patrick Mahomes. So we're starting to see that, too. The Chiefs in position, there's been talk about them going out and looking at a veteran quarterback to come in here. Seventh round, you throw a dart on, say, a guy like Stetson Bennett with the 4.67 40.
There's the Stetson Bennett.
I'm just saying, he ran a 4.67. Very impressive.
They're not going to draft a quarterback. They like Shane Bichelle.
Here's the thing, though. But ESPN's been putting out a bunch of articles on who they looking for, like bringing in Baker Mayfield, these other guys at quarterback, maybe a Tyler Heineke, these guys to come in here and be that backup quarterback. Because one thing the Chiefs do is they want some experience at the quarterback. Obviously, Stetson's not going to give that for you. But again, there's a laundry list of quarterbacks that could fit. Even Andy Reid said, he's like, you may not like the guy. People may not like the guy, but he may be a good fit. Carson Wentz, another name brought up.
Carson Wentz.
Well, it's got NFL experience. That's what Andy Reid likes.
By the way, since we're doing the retread quarterback train, this just came out as well. Apparently, Philip Rivers is reported interest of unretiring and returning to football. He's already spoken with the 49ers and the Dolphins.
He's coaching down in Alabama in high school football. Why not?
He's giving it
it's
up.
Either that or broadcast. You know,
I do want to make this point about Anthony Richardson because I'm a Florida fan. Y'all know that. It's in the description of the podcast.
It is, actually.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
It's good for the Chiefs if he goes in the top 10, as you have illustrated here. I do not want him to go in the first round because I don't think he's ready for it, and I don't think it's a good opportunity for him because I worry that he's going to be put in a prominent position to fail. He was not ready to be the starting quarterback at Florida when he got that starting job. He is basically coasting off of his talent. He showed nothing skill set wise.
So he needs an Andy Reid type.
He is a like
to get a harness.
If
the talent.
If the Chiefs needed a quarterback and were sitting in this position at 31, I would like go get him. If they still had Alex Smith and were picking late first round, I'd be like, if he falls to you there, you go get him.
I don't see him falling.
He's not gonna fall.
But he that's what I'm saying. One pick.
That's what I'm saying. I obviously got Mahomes, so it's not gonna happen. But to me, I'm so afraid of him going because you know if you're top 10, you're probably going to go to a bad team. You're probably going to go to a team that needs a quarterback, as probably has a newer, newish coach, and isn't going to be in a position to win anytime soon. He's going to go to a team, and they're going to project him as their savior. And I don't think he's ever going to be that because he needs a lot of time to develop. And it just scares me because I don't want that kid to fail. And I'm worried that he is because he never showed that he was ready to succeed at the collegiate level.
I think it's Anthony Richardson is going to be a case study for years to come because this is a guy who we saw the flashes at Florida last year where all of a sudden, I can't remember who the game was against. It was about week 5 or 6 when he had the massive game and then all of a sudden Mel Kiper Jr. said he was a top 15 pick and everybody said, wait a minute, this guy top 15 pick?
Yeah.
Have you watched him throw the ball?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, man, the physical tools are there.
Yeah, there was beginning of the season, he was projected to go in the first round by Mel Kiper and McShay. All we heard, first round. And I remember tweeting out after week 2 when they played Kentucky and Will Levis and they lost and he showed some flashes, but he wasn't great in that game. I said, he's not ready to go in the draft this year. He needs to stay. And lo and behold, here he is, probably going to get picked top 10. And I don't want this kid to fail. And I don't think he's ready to be an NFL quarterback anytime soon.
So glad the Chiefs are in a position now to.
It's great that we don't have to worry about quarterback. Yes. It's great that we don't have to worry about quarterback here.
Well, guys, I had a hypothetical question I wanted to throw at you for this episode. I was really excited about it. I was like, oh, this will be good. Well, you know what? I came up with the hypothetical. Before the news came out that the Chiefs were going to not be tagging him, my hypothetical was going to be sign and trade Orlando Brown Jr., move up, draft your left tackle of the future. Bink, you already oddly, you see, the beautiful thing about you, Bink, and the way your brain works is you answered my hypothetical without me even having to ask it. We were talking about left tackles earlier in this episode, and you just said,
I blame Schefter for this.
Oh, you're not even blaming. You're not even blaming the decision makers. You're blaming Schefter for breaking the news.
Well, the hypothetical was ruined at the time where you have Orlando Brown news and the Frank Clark news. The hypothetical got ruined. Sorry, man.
Bijan Robinson in the first round?
No.
Why not, man? Get Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes another toy to play with.
Don't. No.
Hell no. I will say this, though. I will say this, though. There's guys floating around there.
Fine. Jahmyr Gibbs.
No.
Fine.
No, here's the one thing the Chiefs don't have. And I know people love Isaiah Pacheco and the hard runner. Everybody's talking about the angry runs and things like this. He needs to get third and ones. Because the Chiefs are last in the league at that. If they're not new quarterback sneaks, you've got to. Isaiah Pacheco's got to turn that bad boy from 1 yard out.
He's got bad third vision. And one. He's got bad vision. But he's one
an
of those
angry
guys
runner, but he cannot get the third and one.
Because he runs into the backs of his linemen on those situations. So many times, I remember watching him on those third and short situations. He gets the ball and literally just runs right into the back of Joe Tooney or Orlando Brown Jr. instead of being patient and finding the hole.
But I think he can be that guy.
I think he can.
The way he runs,
he just needs to be more patient.
Like,
sometimes.
You think a short yardage back potential? It's Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah,
he's got to be more that guy. Patient. I love the way he runs.
You know, I just realized, you know what would be a great way to fix the short yardage situation? Bijan Robinson, running back from Texas. Have you seen this guy play?
I've seen him
play. The footwork is outstanding.
The fastest guy for his
5'11", 215. He's getting Edgerrin James comparisons. I think he'd be a great fit in Kansas City. Pick number 31. No, sign me up. No.
Too many other things.
They don't run the football enough.
You know what? I think that when you win the Super Bowl, just like it was the case in 2019, you are allowed some leeway, right? You get some latitude to maybe make some luxury decisions.
I've heard
what happened the last time the Chiefs won a Super Bowl? What did they do in the first round the next year? Can somebody remind me, please?
I have heard you talk about Clyde. We have been on the air together talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. In training camp, we were talking about Clyde, and you swore that Pacheco was going to take his job.
But
we were both right on this.
Yeah, but this is different.
Of all our pipe dreams, I think actually fits the most, only because of his way he can block. And he is like having an extra tackle out there.
So you're willing to trade in your Jalen Hyatt dreams for my Darnell Washington dreams?
I'm just saying, he kind of fits with this Orlando Brown news. It kind of fits more than what Hyatt does, just because he can go in motion right there, the third and one, be another big blocker coming in through the middle, run right behind him. But he makes a lot of sense to help for protection there with a rookie tackle, if that's the direction
they went. I'm sure in a future episode we will discuss tight ends as a class, because this is a very strong class, and there was hype leading into the combine, and they backed it up. It was an incredible showing. I do think it's interesting, when I bring up tight end, a lot of times the pushback I'll get is, well, why would you need to draft a tight end? You already have Travis Kelce. He has no signs of slowing down. You just drafted Noah Gray 2 years ago. I don't think you can view tight ends in this linear fashion of, we have X amount of tight ends, therefore you don't need one. Think of it as pass catchers, because I guarantee you that's the way that Andy Reid views it when he's doing it. The Chiefs were one of the most effective offenses in the NFL, maybe the most effective offenses in the NFL, when going with multiple tight end sets.
Led the NFL in first downs by doing that.
It is simply giving this offensive genius another weapon, and no matter what you give him, no matter what ingredients you give him, he's going to make a delicious meal. That's the way Andy Reid operates. So if you give him another tight end, and it doesn't matter if it's Dalton Kincaid or Michael Mayer or Darnell Washington, who are all very, very different tight ends in terms of skill sets.
And Tucker Kraft, that I really like.
If you think that tight end is a deeper position than wide receiver, if you view higher upside, higher potential at that spot than you do wide receiver, you don't let Travis Kelce or Noah Gray keep you from going out and drafting another weapon.
And it's with tight ends, I can honestly see, if there is a first rounder, and I think there will be, the question is how many. Michael Mayer, I do believe, is a first round pick. Dalton Kincaid, probably another, it's two. And is Washington go in the first round or at the beginning of the second round? Could go. But if I think four tight ends go in the first two rounds, I think it's going to be like that. But I think there's quality of tight end beyond that. When you go Tucker Kraft out of South Dakota State, which everybody's like, well, South Dakota State, well, Dallas Goedert came out of South Dakota State, and look at him, he's had a good career. But I just like his measurables and what he does. A lot of size, pass-catching ability coming out with tight ends. I will correct it. Jalen Hyatt, I had as the three-cone winner in the 20-yard shuttle. That was actually Jackson Smith Enigma that did. But Jalen was...
apologize to Jason.
But he was the top-ranked wide receiver with next-gen stats at the combine, Jalen Hyatt. Number one wide receiver, even over Jackson.
You're trying to give him crowns that he didn't even earn.
He was the number one receiver in next gen stats.
Again, you guys, we talked about this last week, about when you brought up Darnell Washington being the guy that you kind of have your draft crush on.
The Chiefs ran a lot more multiple tight end sets this year because they had to work a shorter game.
Yeah.
Noah Gray got a lot of time on the field. Fortson, when he was healthy, got a lot of time on the field. And, I mean, they have four tight ends on their roster this year. So it's very important that they have a good depth at that position. And I think they understand that they're at some point, you can't just keep counting on Kelce to go out there and put the kind of numbers that he is, even though he's defying time. And so I do think at some point they will make an investment at that position again to try and find their future number one tight end. And if that's how the board falls this year, where at 31, the best pick is for you to go out there and get a tight end that you think has the measurables to be the next Travis Kelce, then that's what you got to do. Because at this point now, teams are not going to allow the Chiefs to go do what they did with Tyreek Hill years ago, where they just take the top off the defense. They're going to force the Chiefs to throw shorter and be more rhythmic with how they move the ball down the field. And that means you're going to need some more tight ends.
Which, because MBS is 4.37 speed. They didn't really utilize that.
Yeah, they couldn't use it because teams were playing too high shells. Nope. So it is what they're going to have to do. And if that helps them out by getting a Darnell Washington or Kincaid type, and that helps them be able to move the ball down the field effectively, then do it.
And that's what separates, I think, the great tight ends or the great GMs from your average one, which is you don't move minute to minute. You don't move day to day. You are constantly thinking about the future. It may not be a problem now, but a year down the line, 2 years down the line, we may run into an issue that we don't want to, which may be the reason why the Orlando Brown Jr. news came out today. So I'm sure between now and next Monday, circumstances will change considerably. And when they do, we will be back with another episode of Character Concerns. Again, if you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, review wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, 610sports.com, or on the Odyssey app. Thank you so much. We will talk to you guys next week.
Works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.